But it's so nice and cozy here.
It is nice and cozy here.
Today's May 4th, 2015. This is a Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today is a public hearing on House Bill 5018, the Department of Environmental Quality. So we'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on House Bill 5018. And we'll call up Director Peterson and Ms. Connolly. And before we have you guys start, I'll turn it over to Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chairman of the committee, today we're having Department of Environmental Quality. It's starting some phase two hearings this week and next week. Later this week or tomorrow, you'll have Water Resources. Then Wednesday and Thursday is Forestry. And then next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be ODFNW, with Wednesday will be a public hearing on their ODFNW fee bill.
All right. Begin when you're ready.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Dimbrough. For the record, Dick Peterson, Director of the Department of Environmental Quality, and thank you for having me back for phase two to talk about water quality.
I just wanted to note that you actually didn't say the rest of the committee. You just addressed Senator Dimbrough personally. That was
only to be expected.
And the rest of the committee. So.
Wherever they are.
Who may or may not be watching online.
Yeah, right, correct. I'm here today to provide more information on DEQ's water quality program policy packages, with a focus on the permitting program, including our permitting backlog and how DEQ is addressing it. I will also give you an update on proposed changes to package 128 and a revisit one of our air quality key performance measures. So as a whole, our water quality policy packages address several high priority needs, which can be grouped under a few themes. Firstly, issuing timely and high quality permits, conducting assessments of water quality and producing reports on water quality status and trends, addressing critical data and information management tools and needs, and working collaboratively with local groups to design, implement, and evaluate projects to protect and restore water quality. As I walk you through these policy packages, I'm going to take them out of order, saving the two permitting program packages for last so we can spend some time more digging into those details. First of all, I want to start with package 128, which is part of the Governor's Clean Water Partnership Initiative. What you see on this slide is the package that was originally proposed. As a result of conversations with the Governor's office and stakeholders, we are proposing some changes to the package that will augment resources in core programs to address high priority work without compromising the objectives of the Clean Water Partnership. These changes would not affect the dollar amount of the package. The revised package would retain the items described in the last bullet on the slide and one water quality specialist position to support volunteer monitoring groups and work and report on water quality status and trends. Our proposal would eliminate five of the six positions in the package in order to restore two positions that are reduced in the governor's recommended budget and add two new water quality permit writers. So what that includes is restoring the groundwater policy analyst that was implemented in the governor's recommended budget. This position provides statewide leadership for policy development and interagency alignment on groundwater protection and data management, and for DEQ's implementation of the integrated water resources strategy. We're proposing to restore a senior total maximum daily load non-point source specialist. This position develops and oversees implementation of TMDLs in Northeast Oregon, including the John Day and Umatilla basins, two of the largest basins in the state. And we would add two senior permit water quality permit riders. These two positions would help improve the timeliness and quality of permits we issue. You will understand the need for this when I discuss our program needs later in my presentation today. Package 121, water quality assessment. This package provides critical resources to do our fundamental work, assessing and reporting on the status and trends of water quality throughout the state. Water quality information is not only fundamental to DEQ's water quality work, but it informs and shapes the work of other natural resource agencies, organizations, local partners to protect and restore water quality. In addition, the Federal Clean Water Act requires DEQ to undertake a comprehensive assessment of Oregon's waters every 2 years, making use of all available data and identifying water bodies that aren't meeting water quality standards. We are required to submit these reports to EPA for approval. To meet this requirement, DEQ needs to be able to acquire and evaluate and process data and information, reach defensible conclusions about water quality standards, and produce and provide water quality reports to EPA, the public, and other stakeholders. DEQ currently lacks the resources and tools necessary to perform these functions in even a minimal, adequate manner. As a result, DEQ's last two assessment reports were disapproved by EPA because they fell far short of meeting the most basic federal requirements. DEQ must transform both its information management systems and assessment procedures if it is going to be able to sustainably produce an approvable assessment report in the future and provide water quality information that is fundamental to watershed restoration efforts throughout the state. The package provides the resources for DEQ to accomplish that transformation. The package supports development of a data management system and provides resources for analyzing and interpreting the data and making the information available to our partners and the public.
And actually, I had a quick question. Mm-hmm. You have 2.25 FTE for this package. And it basically, it says it phases in basically three positions. And so I was curious, I can see why you would need them for the next biennium, but what do they do after you've already developed the data management system and then the new resources and the analyzing data part? What happens as you phase them in, say, in the next biennium?
Yeah, Co-Chair Rayfield, thank you for the question. What the analysis tool is that we would get in terms of upgrading our data systems would be the tool that these positions would then use as we gather information around the state. The Federal Clean Water Act requires us to get information and data from around the state, pull it together, analyze it, and then using this tool, then we would submit that to EPA. So it's something that's ongoing. It's not a one thing and we just have a tool and throw data into. The other thing that's becoming apparent to us, and there's a lot of discussion even in this building, about a little more transparency around our assessment tools that we use when we look at water quality data. So we'll be investing more time up front with stakeholders about what are those assessment tools that compare the data against water quality standards that we exist, so everyone's clear about how that data will be used and submitted to EPA. Because the outcome of that report, as if we're showing water bodies are not meeting water quality standards, it triggers a whole host of activities, including the total maximum daily load. So having these positions in place to not only bring the data into our fold, but to describe how we're going to review it is fundamental in terms of us getting that data right. And if we don't get it right, what happens with EPA disapproving a report? They will issue their own. And so then we have to follow their lead without our ability to manage that ourselves for Oregon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Package 126, reducing non-point source pollution. What this package does is restore two positions and create two new positions to work with public agencies, local organizations, and individuals to reduce non-point source pollution. These positions are vital members of Oregon's watershed restoration partnerships. DEQ staff bring water quality expertise to the table to ensure water quality improvement projects are effective and achieve environmental outcomes. The remaining two policy packages I want to discuss, packages 120 and 123, relate to water quality permitting program. But before I discuss them, I want to provide a little context on the program and some of the challenges that we face. In 2014, DEQ managed 8,300 permits for wastewater and stormwater discharges. We issued two different types of permits. One is titled the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System Permit, or NPDS permit. The DEQ has been delegated federal authority to issue these permits for discharges to water bodies. These include discharges from industries, sewage treatment plants, and stormwater facilities. These permits need to be renewed every 5 years. The second type of permit is the Water Pollution Control Facility, or WPCF permit. These permits are issued to under state authority for discharges to land to ensure groundwater is protected. These permits are commonly issued for facilities such as sewage treatment lagoons for smaller rural communities, large on-site septic systems serving a business or manufactured dwelling park, and food processors such as wineries. And these permits need to be renewed every 10 years. I want to start by sharing some information on the work we do in the permitting program. Permitting staff are responsible for far more than simply writing a permit, as you can see on this slide. From a time management perspective, a number of things on the list are not necessarily within our control, such as the number of complaints and enforcement issues that might arise. Others, such as technical assistance, can require a considerable amount of time, especially with small communities who can't afford to keep technical experts and engineers on their payroll. And there's the review of compliance data, which is a sheer volume of work issue. For example, permitted facilities are required to take samples of their discharge and submit the data to DEQ regularly, typically on a monthly basis. DEQ reviews these reports to ensure the facilities are operating in compliance with their permits. In 2014, DEQ received over 10,000 of these reports to review. What I'm showing here is the status of permits. The total number of permits we manage is continued to trend upward, and as reported, reached 8,300 in 2014, which is a peak for us. But as you can see from the slide, our staffing level has been headed in an opposite direction, or at least not increasing. Some of the challenges that we face when we're looking at issuing permits are becoming more complex, and they take more time to complete. And there are a number of factors driving this. One, water quality standards are more stringent than in the past, making it more challenging to develop permits that protect our waterways. Permittees require more assistance from DEQ to know what information they need to provide with their application and what they need to do to comply with the permit. We're always needing to develop new policies and procedures to respond to changing federal regulations, and occasionally have to create whole new permit categories for things we did not previously permit, such as stormwater permit for construction activities. Another factor is the increasing scrutiny of our permits by federal agencies and interest groups, necessitating that we meet a higher bar with our permits. In spite of our best efforts, our permits are frequently the focus of legal challenges. Responding to legal actions, whether these actions were against Oregon or against EPA, but having an impact on Oregon, can require a significant amount of staff time and prevent them from getting their work done in a timely manner. It may also result in us needing to change the way we do our work to meet the outcomes of legal actions, including developing new policies and procedures. And, as I alluded to earlier in my presentation, our outdated and inadequate information management system create inefficiencies in everything from administrative to technical to enforcement tasks. As a result, at the end of 2014, approximately 47% of all of our wastewater and stormwater permits were expired. While we are able to administratively extend permits beyond the expiration date, this is not an acceptable outcome because it means that permits may not be updated to ensure adequate protection of water quality, nor can they be modified during this time to incorporate changes to facilities. Our permit backlog is not a new issue. Over a decade ago, we established the Blue Ribbon Committee to help us identify ways to improve our program, reduce the backlog, and produce timely and quality permits. Mm-hmm. The Blue Ribbon Committee is a diverse group of businesses, municipal, consulting, environmental, and community interest representatives. Beginning in 2002, they undertook an in-depth review of the program, discussed issues and concerns related to permit issuance and compliance, and identified specific program activities and actions needed to strengthen these critical functions. Their report, issued in 2004, contained a number of recommendations for program improvements, including recommendations requiring legislative approval. Over the years, we've implemented a number of these recommendations. For instance, we've adopted performance metrics and regular reporting on our progress toward meeting our targets. We've been issuing permits for 10 years rather than 5 years in the water WPCF program when it is allowed by law and won't compromise the environment. And we've developed a number of internal management directives that can provide clear guidance to permit writers to improve consistency and ensure permits include the most up-to-date elements. Another outcome of the Blue Ribbon Committee recommendations was Senate Bill 45, passed in 2005. That authorized the Environmental Quality Commission to increase permit fees not more than once each calendar year for an amount not to exceed 3%. The committee recognized an annual inflator would not fully resolve the program's funding challenges because other funding sources do not necessarily increase each year to cover inflationary cost. But they felt it would provide a certain level of funding stability that would be helpful. As a side note and related to this issue, at some point, House Bill 3522 will be coming to this committee. House Bill 3522 clarifies that DEQ must obtain legislative approval through the budgeting process if it wants to increase fees by more than 3% in a calendar year. So I want to talk a little bit about our ongoing efforts to improve program performance. We're improving the performance of our permitting program is a very high priority for DEQ. We track and regularly report on a number of program performance metrics, such as permit timeliness and size of our backlog. We continue to work with the Blue Ribbon Committee and solicit their input and feedback on program issues and priorities. We've sharpened our focus on prioritizing and addressing key technical and policy issues that are having the greatest impact on permit issuance and overall performance. We're continually working on process improvements, not only improve efficiency and performance, but also the quality and consistency of our permits. For example, we're developing permit templates and other permit writing tools, and we're clarifying procedures for conducting inspections and ongoing and reporting findings. We do strive to modernize our information management systems and have organized an internal team to guide this effort. And although we may be falling short in our ability to renew permits on a timely basis, it is our policy to prioritize new permit applications to ensure DEQ is not a bottleneck for economic expansion and community development. Now I want to describe our two wastewater permitting packages. The total revenue for these two packages would come from a combination of general fund and a 12% increase in permit fees. The combined, the packages are 53% general fund and 47% other funds. First package 120, replacing wastewater permitting system. This package will allow DEQ to replace an outdated and inadequate wastewater permitting information management system with a commercial off-the-shelf product. We intend to buy a system that is capable of supporting our water quality permitting program in the near term and serve as the foundation of an agency-wide permitting system in the future. We've begun to work on this project this biennium, initiating the business analysis to identify the requirements we will be looking for in an off-the-shelf product. The package includes one permanent full-time position and $325,000 for purchasing and maintaining the system. Package 123, restoring the wastewater permitting program. This package restores six full-time employees that are unaffordable due to shortfalls in federal fund and fee funds. If not restored, permit issuance would be slowed down, and we would have reduced resources for technical assistance in determining compliance. Specifically, these positions perform the following activities. They write permits and ensure compliance. They develop tools and guidance to address complex policies and procedures. They provide oversight for 26 pretreatment programs. They provide assistance to wastewater treatment plants seeking to reuse biosolids for beneficial purposes. And they give us the ability to promote increased and safe reuse of treated wastewater. This is especially important considering our drought conditions and the likelihood for more of it to continue in the future. One thing we do understand is that a 12% fee increase is a lot to ask of the fee payers. We have been in discussions with stakeholders and the regulated community regarding their expectations of DEQ should this package be approved. And we've agreed to formalize a couple of commitments in the form of a budget note. So what we're proposing in the budget note is this, that it would direct DEQ to, one, hire an outside consultant to make recommendations for improving permit quality and timeliness. It would require us to continue to engage the Blue Ribbon Committee as we have implemented recommendations and continue to work toward meeting program goals, and it would require that we keep the legislature informed on the progress that we are making. We're still talking with stakeholders to refine the budget note language, but we really do expect to wrap that up very soon.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Senator Denbrough.
Yes, thank you. So going back to the previous slide, Dick, mm-hmm. So the hiring of the outside consultant, how extensive a contract do you see that being?
Mm-hmm. Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Denbrough, what we want to do is refine the scope that we're looking at, and what we want that contractor to do is come in and just take a whole fresh look at our whole program from the standpoint of how we're going through permit issuance, how we're dealing with backlog, what the staffing levels might be, and also look at and bring some information from what other states are doing. We're not quite sure what the dollar amount might be of this, but we're looking at something that would run the course of maybe 8 months to a year, trying to get that in place, give them plenty of time, but not a whole two-year process. But really, as I addressed in one of my slides, we've been dealing with backlog for a number of years, not with any malintent of anyone. Everybody wants to roll up their sleeves and make it work, but bring a fresh look in to give us some advice, and maybe we can implement some things based on their look.
Representative Rayfield.
So did the permit IT system in POP 120 go through the new IT stage gate review by DIS, DAS. The CIO, yeah.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, what we have shared with DAS, all of our IT systems that we have, that we're working on with them, I can get back to you on that specifically, but I don't recall whether there was a thorough review and feedback, but we did provide them with the information about all of our IT systems.
Yes, Senator Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On that same package, of the $325,000 that mm-hmm. was budgeted there, what, and you said for the program and maintenance, what is the program cost of that $325,000?
Co-Chair Devlin, Senator Hansel, what our view is that we're able to purchase a system that's off the shelf that's probably be used in another state that would include not only the $325,000 would not only include the purchase of the system but also the maintenance component of it.
I understand that, but my question was what is the system itself cost of that $325,000 without the maintenance?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, yep. Can you break that out?
Co-Chair Devlin, Senator Hansel, not yet, because we haven't done an RFP for a system yet, but looking around other states, that's what we think would cover it.
Well, yes. So the off-the-shelf means basically that you would be using what another state has developed.
Co-Chair Devlin, Senator Hansel, likely that would be the case. We might need to modify it a little bit based on what Oregon's specific needs are, but right now we're not looking at developing our own for sure, just because of the not only the cost but the long-term maintenance and uncertainty of it. And there are proven products out there. And this is my last slide. Key performance measure 10, air quality diesel emissions. This KPM tracks the quantity of diesel particulate emissions. During my previous presentation on our budget, we were proposing to delete this measure, in part because emissions data is based on the national emissions inventory, which is only available every 3 years. However, we were concerned that this might send the wrong message to people in the state, that if we're going to be dropping a key performance measure that's very important to stakeholders, and including the legislature working on it, that dropping that key performance measure at this time would just send the wrong signal. So what we're proposing to do is keep it in place as is and work on developing a new measure, and rather than drop it now with the anticipation of bringing a new measure, we'd come back to the legislature at the appropriate time when we have a new measure developed and propose not only dropping this but adding a new one at the same time. So with that, Co-Chair Devlin and committee members, I have gone through my presentation. Certainly would be able to or try to answer any questions that you might have, and certainly appreciate all your attendance to this matter.
Okay. Senator Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Appreciate your presentation. On POPs 128 and 126, basically new positions. My question kind of covers both of them. Oftentimes, you know, constituents are a little weary of your department and more regulations. And we're from the government here to help you. I'm hoping, are these new positions, do you have the position descriptions and the scope of work for these folks at this point worked out?
Co-Chair Devlin, Senator Hansel, yes, we have detail on the position, you know, what the positions would do, maybe not a fully written position description for all of them, with the exception of the two that we would be asking to bring back from the governors that the governor implemented in the 10% cut piece.
Have they been published, or are they out there for people to look at?
Senator, Co-Chair Devlin, Senator Hansel, I'm not sure, but we can get those out for sure, the ones that we have. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Additional questions from the committee?
Senator Dimbrough. Mr. Chair.
So in terms of the water quality POPs, we know that there are a number of initiatives that were in the governor's budget around water quality mm-hmm. that crossed different agencies. Mm-hmm. I assume that, you know, what we have in the final recommendation here reflects that overall strategy and the way that one agency butts up against another and mm-hmm. complements, et cetera. Do you know, has there been prepared a final document of all that our natural resource agencies are doing with respect to water quality, so mm-hmm. we can get the big picture and see how these positions fit into that larger effort and scenario?
Co-Chair Devlin, Senator Dimbrough, I know 2 years ago there was a document pulled together that described all the work of the Natural Resource Agency with a component in water that has that. And that really hasn't changed in the 2 years. There's been some description of what the various natural resource agencies do around a clean water partnership that was presented. Even Richard Whitman came and talked to this committee about that. But I can go back and see if there's something more timely. It isn't coming right to the top of my head. But I know 2 years ago there was a lot of work put together on that.
That would be helpful if I could follow up. Just mm-hmm. Seeing it in an updated manner as we're voting on agency budget after agency budget, it would be nice to have the big picture in mind.
Okay. Any additional questions, comments? Paul, is there anything additional we need? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any follow-up from DAS?
No.
Okay. Short meeting for me. With that, we're adjourned.